You're listening to the Do Gooders podcast. What are your core values? Do you know? Can you put four or five specific words to them and explain the way those values show up in your life? As Krista Michelli says, any brand is the promise of an experience. On a personal level, is that experience consistent? Will anyone who interacts with you say the same thing about who you are? Krista is the Chief Marketing Officer of LumaForge, a technology company in Los Angeles, where she leads the way in brand awareness, content creation, and strategic partnerships. It's a role she came into after years as CEO of brand agency Big Deal Branding, which led the way in strategic design and messaging for both small creative organizations and multi-billion dollar corporations. And she'll tell you that just as a company does, defining our personal core values is a way of establishing and consistently reinforcing who we are and what we stand for beyond any current job title. But owning our values takes clarity, commitment, and communication. And on today's show, Krista offers best practices for it all. So if you're ready to define your values and message, let's get to it. Allow me to introduce to you today, Krista Michelli.
You're listening to the Do Gooders podcast, a show from the Salvation Army's Caring Magazine, where we firmly believe that good starts with you. We get it. Life is busy, and we know you want to do good, but squeezing another thing into the to-do list is hard. Idea organizer, truth seeker, and good infuser Kristen Thieme will introduce you to people just like you who are doing good right where they are, so you can be inspired to make your world a better, brighter place. Listen in on honest conversations for actions you can take to do good today. Here's your host, Caring Magazine editor, Kristen Thieme.
When you donate a vehicle to the Salvation Army, you help combat homelessness and substance abuse locally. Donate your unwanted vehicle today. Call 1-800-728-7825 for fast service and free pickup. Or visit www.cardonationsa.org. That's CARDonationSA.org. Well, Krista, thank you so much for being here today on the Do Gooders podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. This is great.
Definitely. So you are a chief marketing officer, and that is after you led your own branding agency. Why do you love communications, and what makes for good communication?
Oh, man. There's something really freeing about having the right words to express what you're feeling. And I think we often deduce it to kind of the surface level words, and watching a light bulb moment happen with somebody else just because they hear language that more accurately describes what they're experiencing or feeling or thinking is one of the best parts about my job and what I get to do. So yeah, communications to me is just a tool to unify people. It's a tool to mobilize people. And I think if done well, it's one of the most powerful methods to do the most good. We know what happens when it's not done well. It mobilizes and unifies people for the exact opposite things that we're hoping to achieve, I think, as a human race.
Definitely. What did your path into communications look like? How did you end up in a chief marketing officer role?
I think I've always been interested in communications. I've actually kept a journal since second grade, which is terrifying to, you know, look back at those. Like today I did, because that was so important. I had to document my life. But I think I've just been fascinated by words forever. And it started as like, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer. And then it was, I'm going to be a journalist. Then somehow it went into kind of the marketing world around high school and college. And I think it's just because I felt like there was a bigger platform and a wider reach if I went that route than if I just committed to, again, journalism or law. Mm-hmm. It just allowed me to explore more. So I got right into marketing pretty quickly. Branding actually is what my expertise is, but it wasn't really an option at the beginning of my career. Only like Coca-Cola had branding, you know, like Apple, like those are the things you studied. But the track to CMO definitely started with these like fundamental, how do you connect with an audience through some of these traditional mediums like print, advertising. And as we started going into the internet era, it just got a little bit more important. to be a specialist, like to actually be an expert in written word, because now everyone had the tool and everyone could say whatever they wanted at any time and people could see it. So to cut through all of that, I'm super grateful that I started with just the fundamentals. Can you actively and accurately communicate and connect with people through language? Because now that's, I feel like that's fundamental to what a good brand is and really what people need in order to experience any sort of momentum with the audience they want to relate to.
Absolutely. So what does it take to successfully manage a brand?
Oh, so many things. The thing that I'm learning when I ran my branding agency, you know, you spend so much time on the outside of organizations. So you have this really high level thought leadership perspective on marketing and branding and organizations and the people within them. And in the last year as the CMO at this tech company, what I've realized is the sheer amount of focus and commitment that's required to actually see sustainable, like powerful change happen because of your brand or, you know, your particular product or service. So for me, what I'm learning more than anything is just a commitment to vision, having one, having a vision, but a commitment to it, a focus, and just like constantly beating your employees over the head with what that message actually is until everyone all the way down to, you know, whoever is the least engaged with that particular message until they can repeat it. Right. Without, you know, with an eye roll because they've heard it so many times. And that's the really unsexy work, I think, of brand is just the daily grind, the daily commitment to making sure that at every touch point that message is communicated.
Lots of repetition.
So much repetition. And so just that's the stuff you don't go to school for. You don't go to school for, you know, pace. Like, how can we refine something and create a structure and pace around it so that we're not reacting to whatever comes at us? Like, you go to school to create really compelling ad campaigns. Like, right. That's what you get excited about. Or, you know, print ads or whatever that Nike did in the 90s or Apple did in the 90s. You know, like, that's what you think your career is going to amount to. And really what it is you kind of become this czar of commitment. And man, it's like the hard work that nobody wants to talk about. And I don't think anybody fully enjoys it until you've put in the reps and you look back and say, oh my gosh, we've made such a significant impact. It just took showing up every single day and owning the thing that we said we were going to do.
Right.
That's the fun stuff.
Vision, focus, commitment, and owning it. I like it.
Yeah.
So drilling down from that a bit, you mentioned the internet era and everybody having a space online. Is personal branding a thing? And because of our online space, does everyone have a personal brand?
You know, I think everyone has a brand just because for me, I define brand as the promise of an experience. Mm-hmm. So if you're a living, breathing thing, walking around, engaging with other people, you're leaving some kind of impact or you're creating some sort of an experience no matter what. So I don't like deducing people to brands because I think there's a lot about the social media era, the internet era that we're only seeing like a little square. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing what's on the peripheral. So we're not really getting to interact with the whole person. And that to me is, I think, the danger in it. Mm-hmm. We're kind of interacting with people like products more than we are humans.
Interesting.
And so I've experienced that. I mean, as a marketer, I experience that dichotomy a lot because I'm like, well, my social media should be like amazing if I say I do this for a living. And I'm like, yeah, but I would kind of just like to live my life and show people, you know, the real part of my behind the scenes. And I'm like, well, it's not really compelling. And it definitely doesn't look Instagram worthy. So you catch yourself, again, everybody talks about this, giving the highlight reel. Mm-hmm. And I think you end up abandoning the things that you care about most just to make sure that you're somehow adding value on a platform with people you don't even know, who you've not given permission to be in your actual life. And that's where I think it gets kind of tricky. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my work just is rooted in this idea of, if you don't know what you care about, if you don't know what your like deeply held beliefs are, if you don't have a set of values and you haven't committed to them or vocalized them or written them down, I feel like social media then kind of becomes this crutch for your own identity that man, you can spiral out pretty quickly. So I don't love saying that people are brands, but I definitely think there's something in the idea that every person is unique and every person adds value and every person has something specific they can contribute. And being a replica of all of the other people around you in your space is not going to serve you well. And that's the exact advice I would give to a brand.
Right. So you mentioned values as being an important part of that. For years, companies have had values. Nike, for example, has listed performance, authenticity, innovation, sustainability as its core values. Why would you say it's important as individuals to define our values?
Yeah. What's interesting, you say Nike, and I just asked someone the other day, just in doing some research about, you know, their engagement in just social issues and activists, you know, being activists with their particular platform. I was like, what are their values? I can't find it. And someone from the inside was like, oh, we don't post those publicly. I'm like, oh, interesting, because I saw the same things that you saw. And I was like, but it's not consistent. I don't see these everywhere. Huh. Yeah. What I do think is interesting about values is that it is so easy to compromise what we care about if we don't know what it is that really centers us and roots us and makes us inherently different, makes our perspective different. So when I talk about whether it's a brand or an individual, without values, it's just really hard to make decisions. And your behavior is, it kind of seems erratic. Oh, I don't know how to explain that person. I don't know what they really care about, because one day they're doing this and the next day they're doing that. Meanwhile, internally, that person is, I think, feeling pretty lost, you know, floating around and not ever feeling like there's one thing that they're committed to. And I think that wears on everyone. And then what happens is that we just blame every single person or every job or every boss. We blame them for the fact that we don't feel activated. We don't feel like we're experiencing the fullness of ourself. And really, that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to say, these are the things we care about. And oh my gosh, there's some red flags. This particular environment isn't allowing me to stick to my values. Or as a brand, it's, hey, these are the things we care about. So while there's 500 other options out there that we think are important, it's not what we're uniquely positioned to address, because it falls just outside of the purview of the things that we've committed to. And it doesn't make you bad. It makes you committed to the thing that you know you're capable of driving change for. And I would say Patagonia is an excellent example of this.
How so?
Well, they've been around, 40 years? I don't even know. I don't work for them. So someone from Patagonia is going to call you and be like, who is that chick? They've been around for so long and their vision has been the same. And in their book, Let My People Go Surfing, there's a whole section on values and how they've consistently refined the business and evolved around the values. And we saw this a couple of years ago when they sued the president for his environmental infractions. And that felt authentic to them, because the lane that they are in is deeply rooted in environmental causes. Could they, as a billion-dollar company that has a pretty huge platform and a lot of their employees and a lot of their customers have this kind of activist mentality, could they leverage that entire base to fight literally every social issue that we're currently addressing as a nation or as a, you know, global economy? Yes, but they didn't, because they know their voice is specifically poignant in that environmental stage, because they've been doing the work for 40 years.
Right.
So that to me is kind of the values line in the sand.
Gotcha. So you said it's up to us. How would you go about putting specific words to your values?
There is if you just Google personal values, you'll find the first couple of links will give giant documents of just like 300 words. That's super overwhelming, but it's really helpful because you start highlighting words that really resonate with you. And then the next phase is just to narrow it down to like 10, and then narrow it down to 5. And then narrow it down to like 2 that are just, man, if those 2 were taken away from you, you'd be like, then why am I here? What is my purpose?
Can you give us an example from your own life of some of those?
Yeah. Honesty is a big one for me. It's a huge value. And as a marketer, it's the thing that gets me riled up the most, because I get really pulled outside of my comfort zone in terms of, you know, feeling like my value is compromised when I see people leveraging really fancy words and amazing imagery and beautiful video campaigns to cover up the fact that there's not really a product or to cover up the fact that they've created such a horrible environment for their employees just so we could have access to the thing they're selling. And that to me is just like, oh my God, like I can't. It's just such a violation of what I feel is honest and just. And again, as a marketer, that comes out when I see other people lying to their audience. And a lot of times it's very nuanced, but I'm like, I know people at that company and that is not what it's like inside.
Right.
So they may be selling a bill of goods to the consumer who doesn't get to see the inside, but this thing is a cancer. This will eventually seep out and it will seep out onto the customer at the expense of the employee. So that's a big example just from a work perspective of my value in action and kind of what happens when it's compromised. I just get really, everyone can relate to that. You just get really unsettled.
Right.
Like, this is not right. And it's like, well, to you, it's not. That's the other thing about values is that you can't impose your personal values on other people, because sometimes what that does is it forces other people to compromise theirs just to be in your space. So there's this kind of toggle back and forth to really understand how to communicate with people based on, again, that set of values.
So if something's really getting under your skin, chances are it's probably going against one of your core values.
Yeah. Usually what happens is if you're riled up about something, your value has been compromised in that moment. Now, the trick is, yes, this is not just, it's not right, but is it my duty or my responsibility to engage with it? Because something about honesty, at least for me, is we are living in a time where I don't know what's real and I don't know what's honest and true. And so I can get riled up pretty much every second of every single day because my two top values are respect and honesty. And I see very little of that on the internet, but I see a lot of it in my real life. So I have to like pull myself back and say, oh my God, where am I wasting my energy? Like, do I want to impact the people around me and stay in my values and do the hard work and show up and commit to the thing? Or do I want to react online?
Right.
Yeah, that's where things get a little tricky.
Did you know your used goods and thrift shop finds help fund Salvation Army addiction rehabilitation programs across the country? That's right. When you donate and shop at the Salvation Army, you help men and women get their lives back. You give kids their parents back. Go behind the scenes of it all at www.caringmagazine.org/ARC. That's caringmagazine.org/ARC. So let's say we've done this work, we've gone through, figured out our top four or five core values. How would you say we go about then owning our personal message around those values? How do we make sure that we have that locked in so that we are communicating it in a way that's real to who we are and that people then understand where we're coming from?
The best exercise I could recommend is you have your values, make your own definition of those values, not whatever the Webster's Dictionary version is, because it needs to be true to you. I would also suggest, I read Dare to Lead, Brené Brown's latest book, and she spends a whole chapter on values. And I've been doing this work for a little over a decade, and she hits some like next level deep dives of this that I hadn't even considered when it comes to trigger behaviors that pull you outside of your values and how to stay in them and really like writing down specific instances so that you're aware of when you may be compromising them and when you may like when you can actually activate them and live in them. So I'd highly recommend that book. But from the messaging standpoint, focus less on your role as an employee. Don't think about your industry. Focus on what you bring to the table, no matter what the situation. Because the goal would be that no matter what room we walk into, no matter what conversation we're in, we're consistent across the board. The hope would be anyone that interacts with us would say the same thing about us. And so tying it to a function or like a role or an industry really limits us from helping people understand this is what you're going to get every single time you interact with me. If that's something you're interested in, let's keep moving forward and having a conversation about that. That's how I bridge the gap between the message and the values. Is that clear?
Definitely. So we take those values and that message, then how would you say we can best represent that in what we put online?
Yeah, again, First of all, I would just say, what are you trying to get out of your online experience? Mm-hmm. If you're not in a position where you need social media to generate revenue for you, like it's not helping you get a job, it's not helping you get clients, it's really, you know, it's not adding like a financial element to your life, then it's going to be a less complicated conversation.
Right.
You're just like, whatever, I'm just going to show up and post whatever I want. For the people that feel like they have to really filter themselves because, you know, they run their own companies and this is how they get clients, or, you know, because they are representing the company that they work for, whatever the case is, I would say, first of all, pick how much time you want to spend on it, because it is a time suck and it adds, the ROI is pretty minimal. Mm-hmm. And put boundaries on it for sure when it comes to time. And then just calendar it out. Like, hey, these are my top values and these are the things I really care about. And I'm just going to cycle them through. Every other day, I'm going to post about my family. And then on the off days, I'm going to post about, you know, a specific function at my job. Like, really get clear on the topics so that you're not wasting your time trying to figure out what you want to post about. Because I've felt that before. I'm like, why did I just spend an hour and a half trying to figure out what to post when nobody cares? Like, nobody's really watching. I would hate for people to feel that kind of pressure.
Right.
And I know they do, but it's just not, the ROI is just not there.
Right.
So I kind of wish all of us would just post whatever we wanted and not worry that it looked like a magazine. I haven't had the guts to do that, to be totally honest. I'm like, oh, I still like aesthetics and I still like great design. And it's a creative outlet, I think, for a lot of people. So yeah, it is fun to kind of like make it feel like your own curated thing. So the picture stuff for me, I use like, oh, that's a creative outlet. The words are pretty to the point and pretty honest in keeping with my values. But yeah, I would just say, know what you want to get out of it. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So social media might not have the biggest ROI. As a marketer, where would you say we should be communicating our values in our own lives?
It's behavior. It's your daily behavior. I think, again, something that a mentor of mine says is his company takes a posture of act first, speak second. Mm-hmm. And again, as a marketer, I'm like, that's dumb. And then, I realize, you're right. You know, you don't really have the credibility if you've not consistently shown that you're doing the work before you open your mouth or before you create a campaign or before, you know, you engage in a cultural conversation. So it goes back to the very unsexy work of showing up every single day. And when you feel misaligned with your own values, you apologize for it. You speak up for it. You say, hey, that's actually not how I wanted to show up in that conversation, because that's not actually how I want to be known. Mm-hmm. I want to be known as the person that was really honest with you. And I wasn't honest with you because I was too afraid of how you would react. And honestly, because it put me in a vulnerable position. And I didn't want to disclose the real reason why I'm scared. Right. Like that is living in your values. If I said I care about being honest, I could just say, well, honesty is me saying like, this sucks and this sucks and this needs to change. And I'm like, yeah, but what are the people who are interacting with me every single day saying about who I showed up as if they were aware of what my personal values were? Would they say that I was respectful? Would they say I was honest? And that work is way harder to do than a marketing campaign,
right,
that pretends to be those things, you know, for whatever blip of time. So for me, it's just the behavior. If we stepped outside of our own values, did we go back and clarify and apologize and make it right? If we don't, what's it like being on the other side of us? And would anybody ever vouch for me in the future who's worked with me intimately every single day that I'm an honest person and that I respected other people? And if they say, I don't know, sometimes she got like kind of crazy and she was rude, and I'd be like, yeah, you're right, I was. And that was so inappropriate. But had I in the moment gone back and said, you know what, I really don't like how that conversation went. It doesn't feel good. It's not how I want, again, not how I want to be known. How can we like reset for a minute?
Yeah.
Then chances are, you know, a couple of years down the road, they're like, yeah, she was super honest. Even when she had to come back and like, be like, I was wrong. That was horrible. I shouldn't have been that rude. That's been the conversation that you're leaving people with.
Right. Both sides of your values.
Right.
So I know you've done some marketing for a church. Would you say for people within the church, there's any difference in this owning your values, owning your message and how you show up? Or what would be your recommendation in that regard?
You mean for churches specifically or for like individuals who go to church?
Both.
Yeah, God, this is such a messy conversation. Thanks for that. No, just kidding. I would say, and again, this is my own personal belief right now. I would say the church, and when I say the church, I mean, you know, the American Christian church, which is what I'm a part of. We have a really big opportunity to change the narrative and to get more aligned with what Jesus actually said. I think we do a lot of really terrible things to people and say a lot of really hurtful things when we're afraid or when we don't understand something. And right now, I feel like the church has a responsibility to just get back to the basics. And in that, I think that's a very political act, unfortunately. But I think it's time to speak up. And I know there's a lot of churches that are doing that. And that's amazing. We just don't hear about them because they're not as loud. I think as individuals, as Christians, something that I've personally felt compelled to do is kind of come out of the closet, so to speak, as a Christian. I think it's felt very embarrassing. I haven't wanted to say out of my own mouth in any context that I'm a Christian because I feel like there's just this, oh God, am I associated with that brand? Like, this is like not a great, it's not respectful and not honest as a whole right now. And I do not want to be associated with that. So I'm just not going to say it. Mm-hmm. And I feel now very responsible for saying, we are for you, we are with you. I'm really sorry that we've contributed to so many of these social injustices. This is a part of our history. And we're committed to making it right because we just feel like that's what we signed up for. That's what we believe in. That's like the hope that we're rooted in, is that all of this would become equal and just and right and beautiful. And we need all of you. And that's a very recent, it's a very recent development for me where I've kind of come out of the closet a little bit and been more vocal.
Yeah.
Just about my own faith and what I feel compelled to say under that umbrella to people in my community. It's a little easier because we're in LA, but I'm from the Bible Belt and it's very complicated. But I do feel compelled to say something at this point. And I think churches have the opportunity to kind of reflect and recalibrate, take a risk on the thing we actually bought into.
Right. With values and messaging being a big part of that.
I think it's the only, well, it's not the only thing. It's actions first, right? Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem is we can say a lot. We can say we care about, you know, LGBTQ, we can say we care about, you know, the racism issues in our country. We can say we care about, you know, the left out and the kept out. But is the like movement and behavior of that entity, of that church, of that people matching up with what you're saying?
Right.
Because it's a really good marketing campaign. It's going back to the lying thing, right? I can say it outwardly, but if in interacting with the people who make up that particular experience, I don't see any proof, it starts to seep out. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we've kind of gotten ourselves into trouble. We say we care about certain things until people do a little digging. They're like, you haven't done anything. Like, you've done nothing to help mitigate this issue that you say you care about. You've done nothing but exclude. You've not been, you know, warm and inviting. So there's behavior first. And changing behavior, I think, is just, it's such hard work. Mm-hmm. It's super vulnerable. It means we're going to be wrong a lot because we have a lot to make up for and we have a lot to learn. It means less talking and more listening to the people who have felt kept out and left out. And not being ashamed of it, being motivated to change it.
Right.
So that's the like real work that values require of us. And the real work that messaging, in terms of accountability, messaging holds us accountable to our behavior.
So for somebody who might be listening, who's going into an important meeting or who might come across someone new this afternoon, what would you say is your top tip for best presenting your own values, your own message?
Yeah, let's just use one example that happens all the time. It's, hey, what do you do? Like, that's
right.
Apparently the only question we can ask someone that's interesting in a networking. I think we do it because it helps us compartmentalize people quicker, but it's just so inhumane, right? Like, great. Oh, I've met you before. I'm going to throw you in this category. I have no use for you. If someone asks you, so tell me, what do you do? This is the perfect opportunity to flip the conversation, make it more interesting, and leave an impact. You respond with, oh, well, something that I'm really interested in is any kind of work that allows me to do X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. right? And those are your values. So for me, it would be, if somebody asked me that, I would say, oh, I'm actually really, really good at mobilizing people by giving them common language and making sure that their behavior matches what they say. And they're like, wait, so what do you do? Right? Like, now they're curious because they can't put me in a box.
Right.
Because I don't know what to do with that information. And they're like, well, give me an example. And I'm like, great. Secondary questions are what I'm going for. Because now I have a million examples to give you that's a story. And people remember stories, but they aren't going to remember the category that I allowed them to put me in. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, the biggest thing you can do is just, ugh, the second you feel like, oh God, that question, just turn it around. Be ready and say, oh, you know what I love doing? I love fill in the blank. I love watching someone just for the first time understanding why they're here and the value that they can bring to anything. Like, oh, are you a life coach? No, I'm not. I actually, you know, then you can kind of go on your...
I love that. Lead with your values, not your job description.
Yeah. Lead with your value. I mean, it's what you care about, right?
Yeah.
Lead with your values. And then if you have the time to sit and create a message for yourself, kind of that one-liner, don't tie it to your industry and don't tie it to a job description. Tie it to the experience that you hope people have every time they interact with you. I hope people feel mobilized. I hope they feel like I was honest. And I hope they felt like they had a bigger picture for where to go than before they interacted with me. That's it. I can do that in marketing and I can do it, you know, in a million other jobs. That's what I hope you experience if you're still on the other side of me.
Yeah, I love that.
And if you can whittle it down to that, I think people are like, I need that. And if they don't need it, they know someone who does because you've made it really clear what you do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, where can we find and connect with you further online?
I am super active on Instagram. You can find me at Krista Michelli. I don't use Twitter. I would do Instagram. I'm way more personal there.
Perfect. Okay. We will find you there. See how you show up in the squares.
Yeah. And then I'm just going to get a bunch of people from this podcast going, that's not honest at all.
No.
I welcome it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing more about values and how we can better show up with our own message in the world.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, keep on doing good, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Do Gooders podcast. Find the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at caringmagazine.org/podcast. And if you love the show, would you share it with a friend? We'll see you next time, Do Gooder.